Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I'm Aaron. I've got a little raspiness going on. I am a dad, and I'm blessed to be a dad. Yeah, we're going to take the offering. Thanks, you guys. And so we'll take the offering real quick. Just want to share a little bit of dad knowledge with you today. Heavenly Father, dad knowledge, and then maybe a little bit of mine too. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for these men and women, excuse me, these boys and these girls. I thank you, Jesus, for dads. I thank you that when some of us hear dad, we're excited and grateful, and some of us aren't. And so, God, would you have your way in us today as we go about this day in your name. Amen. So, yeah, Father's Day. So many things. There's dad jokes, and, you know, maybe some stuff comes to your mind like this. My dad used to do this on the regular. Hey, we're at the grocery store, and they say, would you like your milk in the bag? No, you can leave it in the carton. Hey, Dad, you get your hair cut? Nope. That's right. Good job. Good job. But for some of you, you start to hear stuff about dads, and boy, you just kind of not feeling it, really. Not just that the dad jokes are corny, but like your dad wasn't all that he could be. Maybe your dad left. Maybe even harder for some of you, your dad has passed away. Maybe for some of you, you wished you could be a dad. You've been like a dad to people, but you didn't have what you would call your own children. Some of you have adopted kids. Some of you have fostered kids. And your heart has been broken, really, by those kids. And I get that this is kind of a mixed bag day. Like Josh was saying earlier, or maybe it was John, Mother's Day, it's kind of like, moms, you're amazing, you're superstars. Dads, try not to suck too much, okay? And it's rough because I don't think dads deserve that. Some men do, and some women deserve all the praise they can get. I'll just remind you of something. If I got what I deserved, I'd be going to hell. And I've earned it. And frankly, you have too. Your moms have and your dads have. But there's a grace from the dad that we're going to talk about today that's so amazing. And it's so wonderful. And it's so greater than anything you could come up with on your own. And so, in the words of Genesis Marie Day, who is now Genesis Marie Day Samick, Dad, you're not the number one dad. You're the number two dad. And so, dads, if you still have a chance with your kids, you can encourage them, you can remind them how awesome the number one dad is. Children, if your dad has passed, your dad has never really been in your life. There's a dad that loves you and has never, ever left you. And it may feel like, okay, then where is he? Can we just be quiet for a second? Just for a second. And listen. He's present. Birds chirping, wind blowing, people breathing. He's present. I'm not trying to get you all into the Pocahontas movie mindset that he's in the wind. And he's the tree, and he's Father Rock, and that's not what I'm trying to get at. I'm just saying he made life. He gave you breath in your lungs, and he loves you like crazy. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Food was all right, but it was out of this atmosphere. Why couldn't the bicycle stand? It was too tired. Thanks, Joe. Two goldfish were in a tank. One looks at the other and says, do you know how to drive this thing? My kids on the regular will say, Dad, can you put my shoes on? I'm like, no, they won't fit. You don't ask me to put your shoes on very much, 16-year-old, but if so. So last one for now. Did you hear about the kidnapping at the school? It's all right, he woke up. Okay. Happy Father's Day. Let's talk about this dad. Will you go with me to James 1, 16 through 18, and then we'll start in on Jesus as Lord. It's actually the last installment of that. I was going dad joke heavy, but I also went dad joke heavy this morning and said, yep, next week, Jesus isn't Lord. He's still the Lord. We're just going to go into another series on the book of Luke. All right, so James 1, 16 through 18. I've thought about this a lot, and I get a chance to meet with people on the regular that remind me that you need to desperately cling to Jesus and his truth, because it's hard to believe that he's good when you look around. For some of us, it's hard to believe that he's good just by looking in the mirror. But for some of you, you look in the mirror and you're like, where you been my whole life, you know? What? But for most of us, we don't quite have that self-esteem. And those who actually look in the mirror and think just how amazing they look, it's only a matter of time. But listen to this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. If you can't hear that, let me just say, every good and perfect gift comes from God. He's the perfect dad, and there's no variation, there's no shadowing with him, there's no change in who he is. He's always good all the time. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We're created in his image, not the other way around. God is God, and we're not, and that's okay. It's hard to admit that we would actually be saved by something somebody else did, but that's how that works. You couldn't do it on your own. I dig that dads can come to the rescue, but all of our dads have left us hanging in some way, shape, or form. And a lot of them, maybe even most of them, didn't want to. They're just limited. But the Heavenly Father isn't. And so we've been talking for 6 weeks now about Jesus as Lord. And we talked in the very beginning that this Lord is a tough word to go with. It's like Father. It's just packed with all kinds of stuff. Some people hear Lord and they hear bossy. Some people hear Lord and they're like, yeah, they lord it over me. They always tell me what to do and they're really hypocritical. And for some of you, again, you're thinking, yeah, my dad was like that. My boss is like that. I'm like that. I don't like the word Lord because it's so packed with fear and frustration. Many of us are in that department, but Jesus isn't that kind of Lord. He's perfect. Well, yeah, Aaron, you just showed a verse, so you're just kind of filling in the gaps. No. Get outside of even just slowing down for 10 seconds and listening. Think about the fact that you're alive right now. You have a chance to see God for who he really is. Think about the fact that you've gone through what you've gone through up to this point. Some of you for 70 plus years, and for some of you for 7 plus months, and you don't even understand what I'm saying. You'll get it later. Listen to the podcast when you get older. But you understand that as long as you're breathing, you have another chance. You also understand that if you died in Christ, you get to live forever. That is good news. Every good and perfect gift. This is a God that takes all the messed up stuff and can make it good. Not in our time frame, generally. And I'm not here to say, look, you lost your dad. Good things are going to come out of that. Your dad abandoned you? Oh, don't worry. God is good. He'll make great stuff happen. Ding! I'm here to say that he will walk with you through all of that. And that's not the final word on you. You've had a great dad. He's come through for you. He's amazing. Don't worship him. Not because, wait for it, he'll let you down. But he's made by somebody. So if your dad's rad, think of how rad the one is who made him. It's good to worship God, and it's good to celebrate people, but always keep it in that order. Look, there's a lot I want to be able to share with you about this Lord who's the perfect dad. I'm going to try to let the book of Luke do that. We're reading through the book of Luke. You guys, it's really not that hard to just breeze through it. Would you take time to slow down and read through it with us this year? And read all the other 65 books of the Bible as well. They're wonderful. They all point to Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus, and that's why we're slowing down to look through the book of Luke. And a lot of people have said, gosh, there's just so much more stuff. Can we bounce around? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to bounce around. I start with the book of James. But the reality is, I think in our culture, it's good to slow down and see who Jesus is, because a lot of people are missing who he is. Well, he's so good. He's so loving. He just says, you know what, do what you want. There's no condemnation. Look, it says in Romans 8 that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And who's to condemn, it says. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus is the only one who can. And those who are apart from the real Jesus, L-O-R-D, all caps, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, those who say no thanks to him, the real Lord who is full of grace and truth, whose love and truth, for those who put him off, you will be condemned already. And he actually doesn't want that for any of us. But he doesn't say, oh, just come the way you want to come to me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, wait for it, except through me. He's really, really exclusive. And yet he's scandalously inclusive. He said, come on, anybody, come to me. You tired, you're weary, you're burdened, I got you. I will give you rest. It's so peaceful to know that somebody else makes it all go. Rest in that today. Let's look, you guys, by the way, really quick, please read through Luke 10 this upcoming week, because we're going to be spending a lot of time in that the next couple of weeks. A lot of time where we're going to be really digging through it. So let's go to Luke 9, 27. If you guys didn't get a chance to hear any of these messages, you're just showing up, you're here for Father's Day, and you wanted to honor your kids, or your kids are honoring you, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. We meet every Sunday. Luke 9, 27 through 34. You can go back, I was going to get at, and listen to the podcast. Jesus says, take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. If anybody wants to follow me, you got to deny yourself daily. He's not messing around with this. He's like, you got to give up the reins, the authority. Kind of like the old, I know this is like scandalous to bring up Bill Cosby's name, but before we found out what stuff could or could not have happened from him, he had this great routine where he said that his dad would say to him, do what I say, or I can take you out and make another look just like you. That kind of authority, right? Well, listen to this. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking to these people. And he's saying, look, there's people standing right here who will not die. They won't stop breathing on this earth until they see the kingdom of God. Verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James, and they went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered. This word is transfigured. It was changed, altered, different. And his clothing became dazzling white. Woo! Take a minute to go through and check out what Mark says about this. I wrote it down, but I'd love for you to go and look in here. He says that his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no launderer on earth could bleach them. My man's trying to get as many words out of his mouth as possible about how bright this Jesus is. And here's a cool thing about how bright it was. It wasn't that his clothing was like tied clean, bleached amazing, the light came from him. Because he made the light. He is light. He showed them his great glory. This is the only time on planet Earth that Jesus let people see just how amazing he really was. Personally, I think that is the first application of some here will not see death until they see the glory of the kingdom of God. I also believe that he was talking about the death and the resurrection of the Savior. I also believe that he's talking about how the kingdom is within you and you will live under my rule and my reign. It's many applications, I believe. However, you're stoked about it and love it, just know this. The glory of the kingdom is Jesus Christ. That's so good. That's where we can rest. All right. So he's transfigured. He's changed. He's super, super shiny. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. Not just two men. Moses, the one who the law came through, the one who could not go into the promised land because of his sin. But now here he is in the promised land with Jesus. How cool is that? God says, you're going to get disciplined like a good dad, but I'm also going to bless you like a great dad. You're going to suffer the consequences of your sin, but I'm also going to show you grace. We need that. But Moses was there, and Elijah wasn't just anybody. He was a prophet that was so rad, and God loved him so much. He said, look, you're not even going to die. I'm going to just take you right up into heaven. And so they show up. Peter, James, and John are awakened by this. Homie, they were asleep. But that bright stuff woke them up. Watch. Moses and Elijah were there, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. His exodus is what this word means. He's about to die. He's going to leave this world. There's this exodus. And I don't know if you know this, but when the people of Israel exited, when they were getting out of Egypt, they lived in the desert for a long time, and they lived in tents, in booths. And Jesus is about to leave because he was about to accomplish this in Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter says to Jesus, Master, it's good that we're here. Let us make three tents, tabernacles. Let's make three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, which was kind of how Peter got down. He just kind of spilled stuff out. But there was some really good stuff. And I'll talk about it in a second, but let me finish this passage for you. So he wanted the moment to stay strong. He wanted them to remember this. He wanted to keep it the way it was. And yet Jesus didn't come just to sit in a tent. Now, as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. I've already said some things, but not knowing what he said, part of it was Peter was just trying to say something, you guys. He was just trying to, like, be in the moment, but he also wanted to try to keep that moment. I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but we used to have a thing called a Kodak moment, right? Who remembers that? Who's heard that but has no clue what it means? It's all right, Joe. It's okay. It's like a Polaroid, right? Whoops, take a picture of the moment. Like, we capture it. Now we do it on our phones. And then we take all that stuff off there because we don't want to forget it, and we put it on a hard drive. And then that hard drive's full, and then we put it in a closet somewhere, and we never go look at it. Just like, but we used to put it on the wall. And he wanted to put this on the wall. He wanted to remember this moment. He wanted to make the most out of it. But he also said some things that he didn't know. He didn't know what he was saying is that Jesus really is the tabernacle. Jesus really is the one who, in the Exodus, took care of them. And then, boy, I geeked out hard on this a month ago. the cloud. Holy smokes, the cloud. Oh gosh, I geeked out on it so much that I've got a bunch of Bible verses you can look up right there and go look at what the cloud represents, because it's the Lord in so many ways. And they were freaked out to enter into the cloud. They should be. The Lord showed up in like majesty. People are like, oh, Jesus is my homeboy. Oh, Jesus will knock you out. And not because he's abusive, but he's amazing. The cloud represents the presence of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. In these passages, if you want to come up and geek out, you don't have to geek out with me. You can geek out on your own. But look, the cloud was shade even. Not like, oh, dude, throw me some shade. Not that kind of shade, but the kind of shade like, ooh, it's hot out. We need some shade. The cloud guided them, directed them. The cloud terrified a lot of people. Look, the cloud was a covering. The cloud was protection. You might remember that by day, the cloud led the people of Israel. And at night, the cloud turned into a pillar of fire, also leading them and giving them light to where they needed to go. Look, you guys, this boy did not know what he said, but he was saying something powerful. You deserve to be worshipped. He got a little bit out of hand and said, maybe we should worship these dudes too. Nope, there's only one dude we worship, and that's Jesus. So we'll go to verse 35 through 36. This one for me is the whole reason why this moment stands out. As shiny as Jesus was, as powerful as that whole imagery is, this is really profound. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Friends, let that sit. Listen to him. Listen to him. The Heavenly Father, God, breaks through the normal way of going about things because we don't really hear his voice. Some people are like, I hear his voice. Cool. You'll confirm it in the word, but this is like him breaking through the normal way of thinking and saying, hey, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And we've talked a lot about listening. It's not just like, I hear you. Good word. It's do something with it, right? And so I'll just finish this. Sorry. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they'd seen. Listen to him. What has Jesus told you to do that you don't want to do? You know how often people tell me, hey, Aaron, you get paid to be good. Help me understand how to hear from God. Well, sometimes you got to slow down. Sometimes you've just got to be in the word. Sometimes you got to like surrender. No. I want to know how I know it's God's voice. I'm like, well, all those things I just said. And so they keep pressing, like, how do I hear from God? And so I don't know if I'm cynical. Okay, I am. But here's what happened. What I've come to understand is we know how to hear from God because we know how to ignore him. Let that sit for a second. We know how to say no to him. Oh, I know I'm supposed to love my wife and lay down my life for her. But she bugs me. I know I'm supposed to discipline my kids, but I get tired of the fight, so just go. Do your thing. Just lock the door on your way out. I know I'm supposed to give my whole life to the Lord because he not only deserves it, but he's God. But I want to hang on to this part. You can have every room in the house, Jesus, but not that one. You and I know how to ignore God. And so, you want to know how to hear him. Go back to the one thing you know he's told you to do and you've decided not to do. Repent and do it. Some of you, it's flat out surrender to him. Some of you, it's give up sex with your non-spouse. Some of you, it's to give your finances to God. Ooh, that's just scary. What about my retirement? I'm just throwing stuff out there. Some of you want to know, well, how do I do that? Walk in it. Ask other people who have done it. Go to God's word. Set up an appointment. This guy's like, you're so busy. I'm busy meeting with people lots of times. And here's what happens. They call, we set up an appointment, and we hang out. Leslie's like, sometimes. And that's true. But I mean, let's try. I'm far from the only one. We have lots of people here you can meet with, men and women. But this listen to him got me figuring that we need some fatherly discipline. And we need to hear from God. And he tells us sometimes just, hey, shh, be quiet and listen. And then do something with it. So I went to Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. I really just want this to be this bonus Jonas for you. I want you to hear it. I want you to be, some of you have no clue what that means. That's all right. But it's a bonus message. And I'm only going to let it be in these verses. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Oops. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons or children? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Some of us at this point are saying, Lord, I'd like you to love me a little less. And he chastises every son whom he receives. I think I may have shared this with you before, but as a coach, but more importantly as a father, if I stop encouraging, exhorting, or correcting, it's because I don't think it's going to matter. God actually continues to come after his children because he loves us. It's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. He's treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them eventually. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Do you guys catch this? God is God. And if he disciplines us, it's even better than what our dads could do. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. He's making us holy. He's disciplining us that we would be like him. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hallelujah. Anybody ever see Karate Kid? Okay. Wow.
Must be number one.
The first one. The real one. Paint the fence. Wax on, wax off. He's super angry in that moment because he's been what he feels is slave labor. He goes, I came to you to teach me karate, and all you're doing is making me your slave. You're sand the deck, do all this. He goes, Daniel, son, I have been teaching you karate. No, you haven't. I'm tired of this. He starts to walk away. He goes, Daniel, son, he said, paint the fence. No, I'm done being your slave. Paint the fence. No. And he goes to punch him. And Daniel-san blocks the master. And he's like, what? He goes, see, I've been training you this whole time. And that was this moment, not just because I love that and Ralph Macchio was kind of cool for a minute. That was all right. I loved the movie. But as my brain started to be renewed by Jesus Christ, I started to see some things in movies, in TV shows, in culture that were teaching me. And then I realized some of the most difficult things in my life that I hated and was mad at God about, he was using to make me stronger. He was using to train me and to discipline me and to make me more like, but you've got to be trained by it. If you're just angry about it, you'll miss it. So I want to bring like all of this together by sharing the rest of this passage with you. And it's so deep, so wonderful. And it's really difficult for me to just read stuff and not geek out on it, but I really don't have a whole lot of time. And so let's see how Aaron does on this. But I want you to look for God and listen to him. I want you to let the Father train you in this. This is God's word. Now, again, I think it's been established. I'm generally the one that says it, but I get told this all the time. I have the kind of voice that can really knock people out. And I move around because I have to. I'm not doing that to try to keep you awake, but that's a side bonus. But look, if you're tired and you're warm and you're like, oh, melodious tones of Aaron Day or whatever, get up and move around. Jump around, all right? Get up. But hang with me because I really want you to hear this, and I believe God's word can preach to you better than I can. So, Luke 9, 37, and we're going to go all the way through 45. We'll take a little break, and then we'll move on. Here we go. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And behold, a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he's my only child." And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it shatters him, and will hardly leave him. What's the spirit? Does anybody know? It's the devil. It's a demon. "And I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon threw him on the ground and convulsed him like, "You're not taking me without a fight." But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy. And he gave him back to his father. Church, understand that God wants us to be his. This is a great example that Jesus has the authority to bring us back to the Father. And he even has the authority to set kids and dads back. If some of you are, "My dad's gone," pray and forgive. Pray and know that where your father is, whether he is apart from God forever or he's with God forever, he knows what's supposed to be right. And he won't hold grudges against you. And I would ask you not to hold grudges against him. I'd ask you to thank God for the time that you had and what you learned. Let's move on. They were all astonished at the majesty of God. By the way, I think this is another expression of people seeing the kingdom of God before they passed away. But while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus takes a sidebar moment and speaks to his disciples. "Let these words sink into your ears." Does this remind you of anything we just read that I just took 5 minutes to point out? Listen to him. Listen to him. So he says, "Let these words sink into your ears." A little dad wisdom for you. My dad used to say, "Hey, Aaron, you've got one mouth and two ears. That wasn't a mistake." What do you mean? Okay, anyways. "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. The Messiah is about to be handed over to people." But they didn't understand this saying, and it was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. This sounds like my house. I would love to say it sounds like my house where my kids live, but it sounds like my bedroom. It sounds like my living room. It sounds like us thinking, like, who's more important? That's mine. But they're arguing about who's the greatest, and he's already told them who the greatest is. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side. And he said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who's great. Let us sit for a second. John answered what? I mean, seriously? He answered something. Didn't Jesus just teach him who was great? Why did he need to answer anything? And yet, God allows conversation, so watch. John answered, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. He's not from our clique. He's not like us. They don't sing the way we do. Their preacher wears a suit. But Jesus said to him, don't stop him, for the one who's not against you is for you. Now, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, this isn't like hugged, this is on the cross. When those days were drawing near, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Got that stern look, he's got a place to be. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. I should stop right now. For some of you don't know this, and there's no shame in it. It's just something to learn. Samaritans were half Jewish and half Syrian, or Assyrian, I should say. And the Assyrians were bad news. And there was this commingling, and there was this, like, biracial, but there was also this bi-religious kind of following Yahweh, kind of doing lots of other nasty things with their relationship with other demon gods. And they were a mixed race in every application. And Jews shunned them. They wouldn't even go through Samaria. They'd walk around it. But Jesus is like, no, we're going to go in there. And when they go in there to set up preparations, this is what happens. The people did not receive him because they didn't like the Jews very much either. Because his face was set towards Jerusalem. Like, oh, you're going to Jerusalem? You're not here to stay with us? No, we don't want you. I think there's an important application, and I'm not trying to chew your food for you, but I'll just say this. If Jesus doesn't do what you want the way you want it, do you have room for him still? Or do you go, next? When his disciples James and John saw it, they're called the sons of thunder. Zebedee is their daddy, but they're the sons of thunder. Sounds like a slam dunk name. And when they saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Come on. This sounds great. Let's toast these suckers. But he turned and rebuked them. Like, did you not hear a thing I said? And they went on to another village. Look, humility, service, selflessness, and sacrifice. This is Jesus. This is the leader. What's about to happen next is so profound that you're going to have to wait for some maybe deeper teaching if you're looking for it this morning. But I want to ask you, does Jesus care how you and I follow him? Church? Does he just want, look, I just want you to come to church. I don't care what you do with it. I just want you to be here. We count the people who are here. It's not so we can say, look how great we are. Sometimes when people are gone, it's harder to recognize that in a large group setting, and we try to recognize where people are at, and we miss people when people come in and people go. This is not a large church, but for Sultan, it's a big church. And we're looking and trying to understand. But I want to say this very clearly to you. I don't want to placate you and pat you on your back and say, just follow God whatever way you want to. Just do your thing. It just doesn't matter. It does matter. And Jesus is about to tell us just how much it matters. So look at this. this selfless, this serving, this humble, sacrificial king says, it's going to cost you to follow me. Not to be saved, not to get out of hell free. It's going to cost you to be his follower. As they were going along the road, someone, and Matthew 8 tells us who this someone was. He was a ruler. He was a wise man. He was a scribe. He understood the law. This would be like having a religion professor show up and say, hey, I want to follow you. And wouldn't that be cool? What a boon for Crosswater. We would probably, shortly after he said, look, I want to follow Jesus, we'd watch his life for a little bit, and then we'd be like, can you teach? To get you up there. Not just because Aaron doesn't have that kind of education, but you are like a prized treasure. Watch what Jesus says to him. He says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He knows something about our hearts. He says to him, look, you want to follow me? I'm homeless. Really, count the cost of following me, because you're not going to get like all the food you can eat and have a nice place. You might have a really rad house you're leaving. You may not get back to it. You may end up finding yourself not wanting it, and you sell it or you give it away. And some of us are like, I'm not following Jesus if I'm not going to have this house. To another, he said, follow me. But the guy he said, follow me to, said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Reasonable request, right? But Jesus said, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He doesn't say this to everybody, but he knows something about that guy's heart. Now, personally, I believe that if his dad was dead, and there was the burial stuff that was needing to go on, he would be tending to that and probably wouldn't have been anywhere near Jesus at that point. But there's a whole lot of teaching that can go on that. I'm saying, Jesus says to him, look, I'm headed to die. This is really important. Dial it in. Follow me. By the way, often people would want to honor their fathers, but in particular, they'd want to be available for the do-re-mi that comes from an inheritance. I'm going to follow you, but I don't want to miss my inheritance. Let me get with you after my dad dies. Jesus says, proclaim the kingdom. Follow me. Yet another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Again, that seems pretty reasonable. Let me go tell my mom and dad bye, because I'm probably not going to see him again. Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Quit thinking about what you've left behind and focus on me. I'm not a farmer. It's been established that I really don't know much about really doing much with my hands. For those of you who are like, I'm a good nose picker. And that grosses most of you out, but I'm a dad, so there's one more little dad thing. I can just be gross for a second. But I do know this about farming, because a friend of mine explained it to me. When you're making a row, you have to focus ahead at a fixed object. Because if you don't, and especially if you're looking back, your row is going to be like this. Jesus is like, fix your eyes ahead. The number one cause of accidents in America is rubbernecking, not watching where you're going. Some people drop something and they look down here, they're checking out their phone, they're looking over here. Where your eyes are is where your car is going to go, or your bicycle. If you're not sure about that, enjoy this tip. Check out YouTube. Bicycle. Just all these crashes, and we laugh, humans hurting themselves. But the reality is, there's a lesson in that for us. A huge lesson. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So I ask you this question before we go. On Father's Day, how will you honor the greatest father ever? The Lord. How will you Will you give him your dreams, your hopes? Will you give him your past? Will you give him your fears? Will you let him teach you how to interact with your two-year-old that makes you think things that should not be thought? Will you allow this Lord to be the one that says, this is what your love life's going to be like? It's going to honor me. This is what your future is going to be like. I know you want to go and make as much money as you can, but I want you to raise up skill, and I want you to go and serve the world. I want you to learn, and I want you to practice while you're learning. I don't want you to try to go make as much money as you can. I want you to give away as much money as you can. I want you to let me be the one that speaks to you, and I want you to listen to me, and I want you to practice that over and over again. We'll just call it daily, like Jesus did. Taking up your cross. Denying yourself and following him and not going, but I gave up so much. No, you're getting so much. You're getting Jesus. Yeah, but I mean, anything else? So much more. He knows what you want, what you need, before you even ask it. But he's saying to us the kindest fatherly thing he can say. Seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and everything else you need will be added to you. Lord, I want to believe that, and I do most of the time. I want my family to believe that, and I think that most of them do most of the time. And I want this church family to, and I think most of them do most of the time. But would we not be satisfied with most of the time? Would we want you and follow you all the time? God, I pray this, not in my name, not in the name of a church getting bigger, but in the unmatched name of Jesus Christ. I pray that my friends and my family would not be content with kind of following you. We would recognize that you're the Lord and we are not, and we would live accordingly. Direct us, shape us, discipline us, Father, as you see fit. I pray in your perfect name. Amen.